There are times when God means for us to step out into his blessing, a step of faith. And then there are times when he wants us to wait on him, to do something, to handle something that's completely out of our control. You know, waiting can be a lot harder than stepping out sometimes. So what's God up to? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Welcome to the program today as we chat about how God makes his blessings happen from a different perspective. Well, listen, yesterday on the program, we were continuing our journey with young Ruth the Moabite widow into the blessings of God. It was a tough road she's had so far, but finally, it looks like she may have hit the jackpot. She kind of, well, she in effect proposes to a rich relative, Boaz, and he wants to marry her, but there's a snag. There are some traditions about who in the family gets to marry the widow, and according to this tradition, Boaz was second in line, not first in line. Have a listen in case you missed it. Ruth chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. No sooner had Boaz gone up to the gate and sat down there than the next of kin of whom Boaz had spoken came passing by. So Boaz said, "Come over, my friend. Sit down here." And he went over and sat down. Then Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. He then said to this next of kin, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our kinsman Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, but in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people, if you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me so that I may know, for there is no one prior to you to redeem it, and I come after you." So the man said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day that you acquire the field from the hand of Naomi, you are also acquiring Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead man, to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance." So as we saw yesterday, here it is. It's completely out of Ruth's control, completely out of Boaz's control. It's totally up to this other man. We don't even discover what his name is. Completely at his whim and mercy. Don't you just hate that when something so important is outside your control? Okay, we know the theory at least, that God is in control. That's the theory, isn't it? All things work together for good, blah, blah, blah. But man, when we're in the thick of it, when everything appears to hang on a knife's edge, we just feel so completely out of control. We can have panic attacks. Well, you know the rest. You've been there and I've been there. We imagine somehow that we're on a journey into the blessings of God, but it just doesn't feel like it, and it feels like God's making me jump through yet another hoop. Well, enough suspense. How does this whole thing turn out for Naomi and Boaz? Remember, Boaz said to this man, if you acquire the field, then you get Ruth with it as well, because the whole tradition was about maintaining the dead man's name over the inheritance. And so this next of kin says, I cannot redeem it for myself without damaging my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one took off a sandal and gave it to the other. This was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the next of kin said to Boaz, acquire it for yourself, he took off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have acquired from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, to be my wife, to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance, in order that the name of the dead man may not be cut off from his kindred and from the gate of his native place. Today, you are witnesses. Then all the people who were at the gate, along with the elders, said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you produce children and bestow a name in Bethlehem, and through the children that the Lord will give you by this young woman, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Well, Eureka! It works out just the way Ruth and Boaz had hoped. For whatever reason, taking Ruth as his wife doesn't work for this other man in the family, who, according to tradition, has first right of refusal. And it seems that all are going to live happily ever after. Great blessing, great joy. There'll be a wedding, and then, of course, children will come along. What a blessing from God they will be. And we'll look at that blessing tomorrow on the program. But right now, there's cause for joy and celebration. Hallelujah. But you and I, we know through hard, often painful experience that as we're journeying through life, we sometimes, no, let me say, we often wish that things would turn out one way and they go completely the other way. We pray that our parents will come to know the Lord before they die, and they seem not to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We want this relationship to be healed and restored, and it isn't. We want that thing over there that we stepped out into in faith to succeed, and it flounders. The ending isn't always a happily ever after ending, is it? Question is, how do we handle that? Do we trot out that well-used scripture, Romans 8:28? We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Well, that's God's word. But it can feel like it's lame when we're hurting, can't it? Like a cop-out. Oh, well, I believe God for this or that, and it didn't turn out that way, and I guess I have to believe he has something else in mind, I guess. Here's what I do. I believe God for good. I believe he wants to bless me, but I am prepared to accept that what I think is blessing and what he means by blessing in his great and mighty plan for this world, a plan of which I am only but a small part, those two things aren't always the same thing. And I learned that from the Apostle Paul as he goes on to write this after that well-known verse, Romans 8:28, beginning at verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present or to come, or powers or height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't you love that? Paul's saying, look, I don't care what the world throws at me. Hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Because he loves me, and nothing can separate me from that love. No circumstance, no unfulfilled hope or dream, because in Christ, this Jesus who died for me and rose again, I am more than a conqueror. Can I tell you, friend, it's only in the difficult times that we learn the truth of this, that having complete confidence in the power and the love of God through Jesus Christ is the place of true security. If we are looking for security in our circumstances, in things, we're going to be sadly disappointed in life. But if in the face of hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, we boldly put our trust in Jesus, then that right there is the place of blessing. And it's a blessing the world can't offer us. It's a blessing of peace and joy and security amidst the highs and lows of life. That right there is what God calls blessing. Social media, well, love it or hate it, it's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So, if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of them, you can share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. Look, we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? Well, this is one of the simple, practical, and powerful ways that you can do that. So visit the Christianity Works page on Facebook, hit the like button, and be encouraged and blessed, as well as share some of that with your friends too. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.